John chapter 10, beginning in verse 22 to begin with. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." We'll pause there and bow our heads together once again. Heavenly Father, we praise you tonight. Father, sometimes it's the right thing to do, Lord, just in the moment, is to praise you and to adore you, Father, and to worship you. Help us, Lord, to do that moment by moment, even in those times we're not gathered together. Help us to pause and worship you for who you are and what you do for us. Father, I thank you for the example that Jesus is to us in every aspect of his life. We cannot mimic him entirely in all the things that he did as the Son of God. But Lord, we do see him as an example and a pattern. Help us to identify that example and to pattern ourselves after him in every way we possibly can as we're being changed from glory to glory. Bless this word to us tonight, I ask, Father, and help us to value this time we have together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you look outside, or if you walked up, by the way, I apologize for that walkway. Everything was so pristinely clear except for the one most dangerous spot, that angled walkway out there had some ice on it. Hope everyone navigated it well. Looks like everyone's okay. But winter reared her ugly head tonight. Or if you like the winter, I suppose you could say her beautiful head again today. After such a nice last couple of weeks, it was rather lovely. The weather was, and the temperature was certainly, for February, it was rather balmy and fantastic. And today we had some snow. And it's interesting because, well, the thought of this lesson actually came to me a couple of days ago when it was still balmy yet. But you understand, you who have lived here in the Midwest or elsewhere with a temperate climate, the weather change is just a part of it, just a part of how things are. Broad, gradual weather changes over the course of the seasons, in the course of the year. And sometimes we have just rather sudden weather changes, we understand. Coats and hats in the winter and shorts and a t-shirt. I went for a run last week in shorts and a t-shirt, and I was sweating like crazy. Interesting what we have here, but generally speaking, we understand that wintertime is cold. Wintertime is that time where it's darker, things are dead or dormant and the like. And I just find it interesting in this passage that we read here earlier that it was indeed winter at the time that Jesus here was at that feast of dedication. It was winter. Now, if you're familiar with this feast and the feasts that are presented in Scripture, the Feast of Dedication in modern times, what we know as Hanukkah, it's during that time of December. I think it's the month of either Aslev or Kislev. I don't remember in the Hebrew calendar. I've never memorized those things, but we understand that Jesus partook of those things as being a Jew. He went and he partook in a number of these feasts and Passovers and went to synagogue and the like. So it's not a surprise that he was there during this feast here. Again, this feast takes place in December. And winter in Jerusalem takes place in December. December is in the thick of winter, or the colder time, just as it is here. Now, just as far as academics go, as I grew up, and sometimes it's just my reflex even now, as I think about Jesus saying, "Lazarus, come forth," or Jesus walking from here to there, my default thought of the setting as I imagine it in my mind tends to be dusty, tends to be, I don't know if tumbleweeds going across is the right way, but I think about some place rather arid and wilderness and the like, because it's in Israel and it's hotter there and warmer and so on and so forth. I did all the research, and I have done so over the course of the years so that I might be educated in my reflexive thoughts. And just so you know, I have some information for you here. We're located in Kansas City at the 39th degree, the 39th parallel, north of the equator, 39 degrees latitude. Jerusalem's at 32 degrees, and there's roughly 60 degrees, I believe, 60 degrees between each one of those latitude lines. So there's about 500 miles difference north and south. Jerusalem being south of us by about 500 miles. And you can see it in their climate, but not a drastic difference. Average high temperatures In July for Jerusalem is 84 degrees. At night, it gets down to an average of 63. Here, it's 89 and 66. So it gets warmer in the summertime. In the wintertime, the average temperature in January, say, is 54 degrees for a high and 39 degrees for a low. Here, it's 38 and 18, respectively. So it gets a little chillier here, but there are ups and downs, and those are averages, you understand. So you have higher and you have lower. But that being said, just as far as rainfall goes, December is the one of the rainier months. Not the rainiest, but it's their third wettest month, and it's similar to our March. And you know how March tends to get rain here. They get somewhere around, 2.5 to 3 inches of rain in December. So why am I giving you this meteorology report? Because when John says that it was winter there, it can mean a number of different things. First off, it was winter. You know, it actually was. And that feast takes place in the wintertime. But he also could be telling us that it was, and I have it in big red letters in my notes here, that it was wintering there. It was wintering. It was being winter there. The reader would understand that the feast of dedication took place in December, so they would have known the season. So I'm inclined to believe that what John was saying was what it was actually doing, what was taking place on the outside. It was being winter. If you look in Matthew 16:2, you know, I'm not going to take you there, but Matthew 16:2 has Jesus telling, well, he's actually chastising some folks, but he speaks about it being about their interpreting the sky and understanding that foul weather is coming. Foul weather is the same term there as winter. It also means stormy. It can speak to actually what's going on outside, a tempest it's translated as. And so I think that, well, when John brings this up, he's talking about the time, and he might actually be talking about what's happening at that present time, that it was storming. Now, why does that matter? Because John said it. The word of God says it. It was winter. In John 10:23, Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Porch is a portico, if you want to use that word, or a colonnade, where you have, well, a roof that's supported by a number of different columns. And what they would do is they would gather under those things and talk oftentimes. It would shield them in the summertime from the heat and the sun. And in the rainy times, in the wintry times, it would shield them from the elements outside at that time. And so very possibly, again, I don't want to over-speculate, but very possibly in that time when it rained 11 days a year, averages 11 days of rain a year in December in Jerusalem, very possibly it was cold and rainy and blustery and windy, and it might have even snowed in Jerusalem on that day. Now, why does that matter? Well, again, if we think about things being desertish and hot there, it's just interesting to me to understand that Jesus would have had reason at times, perhaps, to use a coat of sorts. Certainly not a big puffy coat or anything like that, but to stack on some layers. And I like understanding what he experienced even on a natural level so that I can reflexively consider what he might have been enduring, experiencing in the moment. I find it interesting that he might have needed to step in out of the rain. I think that it would have been interesting to know that it might have been blustery and chilly on that day. And yet, even though it might have snowed on that day, well, we still find Jesus sitting in that colonnade, speaking to these ones. I'll get there in a moment. But Psalm 107, verse 25 says, "He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea." That speaks of the Lord, and Jesus is certainly with, well, the Father and the Spirit as being that Godhead. Jesus held that authority to command and raise the stormy wind. We saw it in practice when he was on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, right? They witnessed it in Mark chapter 4, verse 39. We'll look at that account there, when it says that he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be? But even the wind and the sea obey him." Even the tempest, even the weather elements. We understand that Jesus was the Son of God, and even the very weather, the seasons would obey him. He had authority over those things. And yet, he didn't push away the winter. And he didn't push away the thunderstorms. And he didn't push away the cold and blustery, uncomfortable days. When I got up and I walked outside, I'm like, ugh, it's a little chilly out here. I like the snow, but I don't like the cold, and I knew I had to be out in it today. I wasn't so jazzed about it like I would have been 60 degrees. If it had been up to me, I might have just gone, shoo, pushed it away and brought in some sun. Jesus never did that. As a matter of fact, on that boat, when he said, peace be still, you know, he was sleeping in that boat. And I'm not sure he ever had the inclination to get up and stop, say, peace be still to that, well, to the sea, to the storm, to the waves. I'm not sure that he would have, if they hadn't woken him up in their weakened state of faith, that he would have even gotten up at all. He would have ridden through that, I believe. But we understand, is even though he had the capability and the authority of doing so, he just dealt with it. He dealt with the weather, dealt with the winter, dealt with the cold, dealt with those things while he was about his father's business. And so that's what we see him doing there when he was in Solomon's portico, amidst the colonnades there. And in keeping with this kind of humanity, this consideration of Jesus' human experience, it sounds kind of poetic, I suppose, but I'm going to keep going in that direction. We're going to look at the end of this passage here in John chapter 10. In verse 24, you understand he was there in the Solomon's porch, where there in that temple, his people were being and would be being led into failure as he left that place and they continued offering sacrifices or doing all of those things that were absent of understanding that the Son of God came. It was winter on this day. Again, perhaps blustery, perhaps gray, perhaps cold, not sunshiny and bright. And then they came. In verse 24 of John 10. Then the Jews surrounded him. I like how it puts that, because you can envision it. They surrounded him in Solomon's porch and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, then tell us plainly. And if it were me, I would sigh right here. Because we know that he had taught. We know that he had explained. We know that he had healed. He had blessed. He had done wonders. He had done any number of things that should have been convincing that he was, without question, the Christ. And he would again before it was all said and done. But he also knew in that moment that they weren't going to listen to him. And these ones who were surrounding him in the moment before it was all over, before this account was over, they'd be picking up stones to kill him there on the spot if they'd had their way. You understand how difficult those times can be, don't you? When those ones, perhaps you're surrounded, so to speak, by different ones who would oppress you. Perhaps you're surrounded on those days, man, when you wake up and you just don't, the sky is gray, everything is just kind of crummy, and then you have to go and deal with people. Then you have to go be about your father's business as you do your own life. And it's winter outside, and then when you walk into work, it's winter in this work. It is what it is, man. It is gray, and I'm dealing with this storm that is gathering with them and them and them and them, and sometimes even this person up here. Saints, you understand that when everything feels winter, when you don't want it to be so, when the weather is winter, when people are winter, when work feels winter, when people are saying, as these ones did, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. That was a storm brewing right there on the spot. And again, I envision Jesus taking a breath and stepping and turning around and him, well, speaking with patience, perhaps firmly, perhaps strongly. He made quite plain, among other things, I and my Father are one. And he tackled that weather, tackled that storm that was those people surrounding him, just as he did every other piece of weather that he could have eliminated whenever he chose to. They picked up their stones. His words would fall on their deaf ears, certainly. And he would ultimately, well, take leave from them and step back into the natural weather and go wherever he was going. Saints, I think it's just remarkable that our Heavenly Father and the Son of God who came down to this place had such authority and such strength and such capability to do so many things to eliminate what was distasteful to him. And yet with long suffering and with patience and with first and foremost love and grace, he didn't. He weathered every single storm. He remained about his Father's business, assured that his message was given, assured that everyone was given opportunity, despite the seasons, despite the chill that was both up here and around, and in the people who surrounded him with no interest in seeking him and understanding him, he weathered the storm, whatever it might have been. Natural, spiritual, personal. Take that as your example. If the Son of God could do that and withhold his power, keeping it at his fingertips, well, then we can be patient, we can be long-suffering, and wait on him to change the weather as he chooses, as we're about our own Father's business.